Well, welcome back. This is lecture number two in the book of Nehemiah, and blessings to you in Africa and America. We just trust and pray that the Lord is working in your heart, and you're excited to be learning the Word of God and to see what the Lord has for you. In our booklet, we are under point number B, the team's calling. We just finished up last time the leader's caution. And we saw that he had not talked to any of the Jews or the priests or the nobles or any officials like that, that he would, what kind of work he'd be doing, because he was working with caution. And now, under B, we have the team's calling. Point number one, the team leaders unite. And so he says to them, verse 17, chapter 2, verse 17, "Then I said to them, 'You see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace.' I also told them about the gracious hand of my God upon me, and what the king had said to me. They replied, 'Let us start building.' So they began this good work." Interesting. The leaders responded positively. Nehemiah came with the reality. He goes, "Look at the trouble we're in. It's shameful. Let us build back what we had that will no longer be a disgrace to those around us." And not only that, he told them the good news about what King Artaxerxes had done, how he'd given him so many things. This was encouraging to the people. And so he poured out his concerns. And he has an idea. "Hey, there's trouble out here. There's a great work to do. Come, join this team. Let's build. Let's no longer be in disgrace. Let's go." But notice verse 19. "But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official and Geshem the Arab heard about this, they mocked and ridiculed us. 'What is this you are doing?' they asked. 'Are you rebelling against the king?' I answered them by saying, 'The God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding. But as for you, you have no share in Jerusalem or any claim or historic right to it.'" Oh my. You know what we see in Nehemiah? We see the zeal of the Lord. That's what he has. He is not ashamed of his calling. And when he sees these enemies, and I'll tell you what, they were loud and they carried a lot of authority. A lot of people that lived in this region were fearful of these men. They had a lot of weight, carried a lot of weight among the people. But Nehemiah, when he heard this, the mocking and the ridiculing, and even questioning, "What are you doing, rebelling against the king?" His answer was, "You know what? The God of heaven is going to give us success." He was confident. God had called him to this work. And not only that, he's very honest and he said, "Jerusalem, Israel, it belongs to us because God gave it to us. Rightfully, it belongs to us in through covenant, through the promise that God has given to us." The mocking begins and it's not going to end and it's only going to get worse. Remember, Jesus Christ is the builder. Satan is the destroyer. John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And that is why these men are here. They're being used of Satan. They're tools of Satan to discourage the Jewish people, to try to discourage Nehemiah. But what we're going to find out through Nehemiah, Nehemiah is not going to crumble. This man, his heart is set to serve Jesus Christ, and it does not matter if all hell comes at him. Nehemiah is going to stand. And so we turn to the next page. Under building, we have building. It takes a team to build. Nehemiah realized this. It takes a team to build. Because he can't do it alone. There's going to be so much work to be done. He cannot do it alone. We always must recognize that there will always be enemies. Satan hates what every believer stands for. We as leaders, Satan hates it, what we stand for. He will have his enemies out there. They will always be present to mock. They'll always be present to try to make light of what you're doing, that what you're doing is not important, that what you're doing doesn't seem to matter. But what we do as servant leaders is so important. And even in our homes, Satan wants to destroy our homes. He wants to destroy our testimonies. He wants to destroy our wives, our children. And we must be stand in the gap. We must be praying and be confident in our Lord, as Nehemiah was. Devotion. See, oh man, Nehemiah stayed focused no matter the temptation. He stayed focused. He was devoted to God's work, what God was doing. Under that point number C, we have 2 Corinthians 6:1-2. It says, as God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. And why I put this verse in here is now is the day. Now is the day to know that what we're doing, we're co-workers for Christ. And we need to stand and we need to be moving forward. We have people around us that need to be saved. We have believers around us who need to be encouraged in their walk with Christ. We keep building and we don't become discouraged. Today, God has given us to move forward. And even in these difficult times that we are being tested and tried, when we are called by God, as Nehemiah was called, it's that calling that keeps us going. It's that calling that keeps us going even in difficulty, because we know God has put this on our heart. And remember, a good work is it's always God's work. We are called to build the church under Christ's leadership, and it will involve warfare. It will involve warfare. It will involve difficulty. Sometimes it comes in the form of a person. Sometimes it comes in the form of things just seem to fall apart around us. Satan is at work. He doesn't care. He'll use any tactic he can to discourage us. Now, I will say this. If what you're doing has never received any ridicule, or what you're doing has never had problems, maybe Satan's not resisting you because what you're doing is of no value. Satan always resists God's work. He resists what has value. There are churches today that aren't being persecuted. Why? Because they're not moving forward for Christ. They're not building it. They're not building. And if they are building, many are not building on Jesus Christ. They're not building on the foundation of the Word of God. You know, it's interesting. His name skips my mind, but the Prime Minister of England during World War II, he said, I question a man who has no enemies. Again, he said, I question a man who has no enemies. Maybe if your life is very smooth, maybe it's because you're not in the battle. When we're in the spiritual battle, we're going to have times of difficulty, and we're going to face times of difficulty. And like I said, it can come in many ways. Maybe Satan sees that he can't get to your heart, so maybe he goes after your wife's heart. Maybe he goes after one of your children's heart. And he's trying to get at them because he knows he can get to you through them. So anyway, we move on. Now, we come to, under B, we come to point number two. We have the team begins building. Now, read this yourself. Read chapter 3, verses 1 through 32. Use your Bible. Notice that all are working. All are working, except there's a couple leaders in there, some nobles that are being prideful. But anyway, let's look at some of the points. There's 8 points from this chapter. Just want to mention 38 people are mentioned along with 40 different groups of people. That's teams. A lot of teams you're building. Number 2, faith and dedication was being built into each worker. Number 3, no worker complained about their role or any unfairness. Oh, does that happen? You know, sometimes it happens with their own children. Dad, you're not fair. Mom, you're not fair. My brother got this and I didn't. Well, what we find out is people are building on their own portion of the wall, and they realize that their calling to that portion is important. Number four, each worker was important no matter their role. Each worker, it did make a difference. It did make a difference. And, you know, whether it's a Sunday school teacher, whether it's someone that brings food to someone else's house, whatever it may be, maybe it's cooking a meal for someone. Maybe it's sharing Jesus with someone. Maybe it's going and calling on a widow or visiting an orphan. Whatever it may be, whatever God calls you to do, it's important. You know, even Jesus says, even getting a drink, you've done it for me. You've done it for me. It's so important. Number five, some workers left their homes to assist their fellow Jews. Six, some finished early and helped others do their work. You know, it's interesting. Sometimes if we all have a job, we get ours done, we want to go maybe and sit down and take it easy and rest while our brothers or sisters are still working. But no, if we finish our job early, we lend a hand to those that are still working. Seven, all worked hard. And even most of the leaders got their hands dirty. Even most of the leaders got their hands dirty. And Nehemiah, as a servant leader, Nehemiah was not afraid of getting dirt in his hands. But sadly, lastly, number eight, sadly, the nobles of Tekoa would not humble themselves. And they're going to be remembered in God's eternal word as those that did not join in the work. Wow, what a sad way to be remembered. Now, A, followed. They followed Nehemiah and they followed the leaders because the leaders set an example. They followed, the people followed Nehemiah and the leaders. B, they kept focused on the good work. They kept focused on the task that was right before them. And lastly, C, they worked with all of their hearts. They worked as a team toward the goal. It's not I, but we. Now, just before we go on to these eight concepts of a teammate, I just want to remind us that at this time, Nehemiah truly cared about his people. He cared about his city, and he cared about the testimony of his God. His enemies, he realized he had enemies, and these enemies were worried about losing their power, and they were fearful of losing their popularity with the people. You see, leaders that are not God-fearing, they love power, and they love popularity. And Nehemiah understood that they were not going to be happy about this. Not only in this chapter, we see that Nehemiah, he gave credit to the workers. He gave credit to the families. He sought to be a team. He sought to be a people, not of disgrace. Why were the walls and gates so important? Why were the walls and gates of Jerusalem so important? Because it offered security from the enemy. Remember, the foundation was there to build upon. The foundation was in place, but it needed to be rebuilt. Just like Jesus, the foundation is already there, but we use the Word of God to build those walls of security and those walls of separation from the enemy. And what I mean by that is we don't lock our doors up in our house and avoid contact with anybody. But we build on Jesus Christ, and we build into people's lives. We build in the truth and the security that they won't fall into temptations by Satan. They won't fall into the traps that he has out there. They won't let the false teaching enter their heart and lead them astray. It keeps us, the Word of God, built upon Jesus Christ. It builds security into our lives. We need to build those walls around our heart, protecting us from false teaching. Anyway, we move on now to the teammate. Number one, learn to be faithful no matter what. These teammates must learn to be faithful no matter what their job involves. It's funny how people are, that many times they're not content where God's placed them. And they complain, well, I don't want to be a Sunday school teacher, God, I want to be a pastor. Well, you know what? Learn to be faithful no matter what your job or ministry involves. It's not about you. Being a servant leader is about honoring Jesus and following His example. And that's what I must remind myself often. It's not about me. It's not about me. It's what God is doing among His people. Number two, the teammate must not be afraid to work hard for the sake of Christ's church. Don't be afraid to work hard. For some reason, I've seen those that get a degree sometimes in Bible and they think that they're beyond getting their hands dirty. The teammate must, number three, be willing to do any task to accomplish God's work. Number four, the teammate must not pursue earthly fame, riches, or honor. The teammate looks out for the good of others. Oh, what a temptation do we have in Christianity. In Christianity, we followed, it's like Hollywood and the movie stars. We all want a big name. We want our name in lights. And the faithful worker wants Jesus' name in lights, and he gives credit to his fellow workers as Nehemiah did. The teammate must, number five, realize he may work harder at times due to others' weaknesses. Why? For love's sake. Because he loves his brethren. He loves God's work. He loves his Savior. And there are times that others are weak, and we pick up and we make, if you want to say, we fill in for the weakness of others. The teammate, number six, must be an example and an encouragement to his teammates. Do you know what? It's very easy to criticize. Very easy to criticize. Matter of fact, it doesn't take anybody smart to criticize. But you know what takes work? It takes work to uplift your brother and look for positive and encouraging things to say to your brother. Oh, I've been around saints that love to criticize others, and it's very discouraging, and it leads to discouragement, and it does no good to the body of Christ. It is very easy and takes very little thought, very little brains to criticize. But be thoughtful to your teammates. Be an encourager. If you were to die today, the question, we did a study in our Sunday school last week, if I were to die today, how would people remember me? Would I be remembered as an encourager? Would I be remembered as someone who was selfish, who wanted my way? No, I want to be remembered as someone who encourages the brethren, encourages God's work to be done. The teammate must, number seven, remember that God's calling is more important than popularity. God's calling far surpasses popularity. Jesus never sought popularity. He was a servant leader who showed how to serve by washing the disciples' feet. The teammate must, number eight, consider how he wants to be remembered by the Lord. Exactly. You know, the Tekoites, they lived 11 miles away, and they're mentioned in about six verses in chapter 3. They left their homes to come and help. They may even have finished early and helped others. But man, they were workers. Excuse me, the Tekoites may not have been mentioned six times. Others were mentioned like six times that helped others, but they even left their homes to come and help. At the bottom of the page it says, when God's people band together in His name, it not only delights the heart of God, but is also a testimony to those who are watching, and God is glorified in their midst and among them. There's some notice that there's a number of words. Repair was used about 35 times, this idea of making strong. You know, we're introduced to Eliashib, and he started well, but we're going to find out later on he had some problems. And we come to the top of the next page. Paul tells us from Ephesians, consequently, you're no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple to the Lord. And in him too you are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. As I mentioned earlier, we are being built upon. We are to build the truth into the church, into our families. Remember, we are building for the generations that are to follow us. If we're not building, what is the generation that follows us? What are they going to have? The Nehemiah realized that these walls in Jerusalem would protect the Jewish children, the Jewish grandchildren, the great-grandchildren, and those that would come, that these walls would stand for years to come. It is important that we build for the future. The concluding thoughts, we have some concluding thoughts from Ecclesiastes 4. Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Lord, we need you and we need each other. You've called us to be teammates, brothers, and you've called us to lift one another up if one is to fall down. And as you say that though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves, but even three is even better. We need the Lord. The reality is, though, we need each other. When you study the book of Acts, Paul the Apostle, who we lift up as a great apostle and missionary to the Gentile peoples, had an amazing team around him. And we find out early in his ministry, on his second missionary trip, he not only has Silas, who starts out with him, and some of those from Antioch, but he also picks up Timothy, he picks up Luke, he picks up these men who would be his fellow laborers till his time on this earth was over. Our tendency as men sometimes is to want to be loners. God says, I pity anyone who falls and has no one to help him up. We need each other, and we need each other more than we realize. I don't want to be remembered as being proud. I don't want to be remembered as someone who is not unwilling to get his hands dirty, as the nobles were remembered in this last chapter. They're remembered as being prideful and unwilling to serve. I pray that each one of us in this program desire to be leaders, servant leaders that are not afraid to get our hands dirty. And I know the leaders out there that are helping with this, whether Rick in Canada, Peter in Kenya, and Frederick in Uganda. I know that you're willing to get your hands dirty, your servants. And I thank you for each of you that are part of this program under these men, because I see that you would desire to be servant leaders as well. Anyway, I encourage you to read ahead. Read chapters 4 through 6 in Nehemiah, for our next session. We are going to see that, guess what? There's opposition is going to start and get stronger. They're going to have trials that are going to come from the outside. And they're going to be strong trials from the outside. But not only that, we're going to begin to see, guess what? There's trials from the inside among the Jewish people themselves. Trials will arise both from the outside and the inside. Anyway, read chapters 4 through 6. That will be the major point number 2, opposition to God's work. God bless.